This week's episode of the SGGQA podcast is brought to you by Frame It. You've just shot a great piece of video, but now you need to frame it. Phones are crazy powerful options for video editing, but a lot of our editing apps still try to work like desktop video software. Frame It gives you streamlined tools to do more advanced edits, but with controls that are a better fit for your phone screen. Use the actions you're already familiar with, like pinch to zoom and rotate, just like you're editing a photo, but with video. Pan, zoom, rotate, and crop as easily as scanning your photo gallery. Time your pans and movements to music. Punch in for dramatic effect. Flip through a transition or fix a video for the right orientation. Load up a video and Frame It will record your edits and moves in real time. Trim out parts of a clip you don't need, and the app renders out all of your edits as a finished clip. Fast, easy, powerful. Frame It is free and available now on Google Play. Your video's not really done until you frame it. For more info on Frame It and tutorials on how to get the best edits out of your phone camera, head on over to frameitapp.com. Once again, frameitapp.com. I want to thank Frame It for supporting the SGGQA podcast. And now, let's get on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, tech fans of all shapes and sorts and sizes and persuasions, welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Tech Chat Show on the SGGQA podcast channel. I'm Juan Carlos Bagnell, aka Some Gadget Guy, the SGG of this horribly, terribly named podcast series. But the Q&A is the important part because today is going to be another relaxed fit, casual edition of the SGGQA podcast. We just moved. I don't have a show lined up. I barely have any notes. We'll talk about the subreddit. There were some really great videos that were up on the subreddit, and we're going to hang out. I have no idea if this stream's going to work. It's going to be fun. Right now, I'm seeing all green on the OBS bandwidth meter, so I'm hoping that means we've got a stream here. You know, you take some of this stuff home, you put some carrots and some celery in there, and you got yourself a stew going. So thank you so much, everybody, for dropping by. And I really want to do some Q&A, like answer some questions, where we're at with tech reviewing, where this channel might go, talk out what I want to have happen in Gadget Lab 4 already, even just from setting up this morning. Things that used to work in my last office are not working here. I'm going to have to change up the lighting. I'm going to have to work on the desk and the layout. And my cable management is... would be very disappointing to people who are good at computers. So this is definitely a work in progress. Simon says, Hypno says, congrats on the new home. Thank you so much. We had a moving truck here two days ago, and we're scrambling to try and get everything set up because, like, we got to get right back into work and school and getting stuff done. Arthur Lee, cool new man cave. Cause, you know, Paul is definitely ragging on me for, having some lovely boxes back there. I should do like unboxings as I'm, unpacking the new office. JMX talking about the Pixel 6. Let's definitely chat Pixel 6. I'll pull up some images. Like, let's see. I think I've got Firefox working. Yeah. Look at that. On the fly, I can actually do things. It's like I've been running this show for a while. Like, up until last night, I was still plugging in everything on my workstation. Let me tell you, I've got a giant thermal take case for my little Threadripper build here. It's not so little. Driving with a PC sort of strapped into the passenger seat next to you is horrifically nerve-wracking. Like, I'm really trying to be gentle, accelerating. You know, I'm not taking curves, like, turns like crazy. I didn't get on the freeway. There was at least a good surface street path from our old place to our new place. And, like, every little bump in the road. And you can hear, like, from the water cooling and the fan mounts that I've got. And everything's, like, rattling inside there. Yeah, I've got a GPU bracket, so I don't have GPU sag. You know, because I've got a decently sized graphics card. You know, all of that. Just like heart is in my throat, and you know, like I get it set up under my desk, and you go to push power, and you're like, anything could happen. Like, this thing could totally melt down on me. So, yeah. I'm glad to see that we're at least in some kind of functional state here. I don't even have, like, my coffee mugs. I don't know where I packed them. They were on the bookshelf, and I was working so crazy to, like, just get everything off the bookshelf. I packed up all of my props and mugs and everything. So I'm drinking out of a water bottle like a filthy casual. We got Gary the Fireman gifting with the tier one sub to All Greg 38. Gary, thank you so much for jumping right in, man. I really appreciate that. This is an exciting transition, and we've got a lot to talk about in terms of, like, where do we want tech conversations to go? And it's this crew, especially the people that are tuning into these live streams, or if you're listening to the audio replay after the fact, this kind of feedback, as I feel like a lot of creators are kind of getting to burnout after a year of pandemic, and I'm going through this life change, and I want to set up a new office. I want to do something different than what we've been doing for the last year, because, man, the last year was kind of treading water. It wasn't really what I envisioned it would be. So now's the time to fix that, you know? Like, now's the time to get in here and shake things up and try some different things. I want to talk more about using gadgets than just talking about the gadget. And I feel like it's time for that as a fresh start. I've been threatening to do this for, like, the last 2 years. Now I feel like I'm in a space where we could probably do that. You got to show us the cables now that you said that. No? No, I don't, Matt. Sorry. Gary the Fireman with another tier one sub to Kyle Ruggles and to Gormlord. I just, you guys are blowing me away here. And again, it's I'm always so appreciative. Thank you so much for all the support here. tech potato. Lay it down horizontal, sacrifice a goat, dance a funky dance. I feel like I can lay it down horizontal, and I feel like I'm good with the funky dance. I don't know. I have it in me to sacrifice a goat, but man, it was freaky getting the workstation over here and getting it all set up, but I think it's working. This is the exciting part. Like, it's actually working right now. So immediately, I mean, just talking about how I normally do kind of my head in a box style commentary, we can see that my lighting is not working. I've got this beautiful open window. I might be able to turn the camera. I don't know if I can turn the camera around. It's wedged in here pretty tight. I might save that. If I get more ambitious towards the middle of the stream, we can talk about that. But the whole space here, I've got to have the bookshelves, because the bookshelves are practical. Like, I need storage. And I think from where we've been in previous incarnations of the Gadget Lab, I'm not going to worry as much about setting up cute little tchotchkes in every cubby. I think this is now just going to move to straight up storage. I have so many phone boxes and gadget boxes and, you know, camera equipment and all this stuff. And instead of trying to make this pretty or work with lights, you know, like, oh, let's put little twinkly fairy lights on everything. I think instead this is really going to be more like functional, streamlined, and I just need to improve the lighting. So I'm not just getting, like, hard wash from a window. Even though the lighting is way more flattering with natural lighting, I do like that. Fat Produce gifting some subs to Kenox 80. Thanks, man. This is great. Matt Tyler, Gadget Lab 4 and the legendary shelf is the first thing up in the background. Warms my heart. It has something in it. The bookshelf started out as this attempt at making something decorative, so I'd have a more visually interesting background. And this is the third major move. Wait, I got them in Gadget Lab. No, I went across the street. 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. So, they've been moved numerous times. Let's say IKEA furniture. Man, those little wooden dowels that stick all the shelves together really don't like getting pulled apart and put back together again. So they're up now. I might need to go in and like kind of secure them a little better. Like I might need to, you know, even drill like some new supports just so that it doesn't, it's not quite as wobbly. Well, we'll have to see. But yeah, so the bookshelves are up and they're going to be way more functional than decorative. Mimranglat natural light is better anyway. So the layout of this office is kind of wonderful for morning streams. It's second floor. Even if landscapers were to show up, because you remember back in the early days of Gadget Lab 3, landscapers would be right outside my window at eye level with me with like leaf blowers and like scraping metal rakes on the concrete sidewalks right outside my office. And you know, you can only do so much with like NVIDIA's RTX voice. Like you can only strip so much noise out of a setup like that. I'm second floor now. I don't have any neighbors above or below me, and my wall faces west, so morning streams, I've got this indirect natural light coming through this window, and it's a nice pretty scene, you know, like, you know, got some trees out there, some nice stuff out in the background, and I feel like as I'm shooting content, I finally have a window I can use again. So Gadget Lab 2 had a great window that I could occasionally sit in front of. I just got to light it better because I don't have any of my LEDs broken out for that. Q3 Becker, I'm disappointed that you didn't rent a commercial office. Disappointed, I say. So that eventually is on the list, but right now, our long-term plan will eventually account for a Gadget Lab 5. A workspace. It kind of depends on where my side production projects go. If I need a better studio, right now I'm not really doing any work with Newegg. Part of why we've been trying to hold on to a third bedroom is, well, we need a room, a master bedroom, and a room for Lex, and then some kind of office space where I can shoot at home and then back that up. With some kind of studio style shoot. That's kind of what the relationship with Newegg was. I don't have anything coming up with Newegg. There's been no conversation about future projects or trade shows or travel, even going down to the studio. We might be talking about some PC builds. Like I've been doing a lot of live streams for their like Asus coverage, but there's nothing on the docket. So I don't need to build my office around that. Instead, I'm looking at picking up other clients and I'm working with other outlets. I'm doing network coverage, carriers and ISPs for reviews.org. I don't need to shoot heavy for that. So it kind of depends on where we go, but there might be a Gadget Lab 5 in the near future or medium term future. And then this might become the space for Marie if Marie is doing more work at home. If she's able, if her company allows her to do most of her work at home, it would be nice so that she could have a sort of a space that she could get that done at. So again, everything is about life and transitions, and it kind of depends on where we land and where things end up. So we'll have to see. It should be fun. In the meantime, Gadget Lab 4 is going to realize what I wanted to have happen in Gadget Lab 3. Obviously, I'm still going to be doing a bit of this, you know, sitting in front of a workstation and monitors and talking to a camera. But what I'm hoping, once all the boxes are cleared out, what I'm hoping is to make this just a more open space. I'd never really wanted Gadget Lab 3 to be dominated by a big table in the middle of a small room. But we kind of just ran out of space. We didn't have the ability to move things around like we wanted to. The family living area was just getting dominated by school at home. Lex was at home. Marie was at home. The place we were in before was not an ideal setup for life during pandemic. And so, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people have commented on stuff like this. It's the look of my videos got real claustrophobic, and it was really difficult to find opportunities where I could go out and shoot. I mean, like a little kind of casual B-roll. My LG Wing has been a phenomenal 4K B-roll camera, but that's still less than ideal. You have so little control over how you're going to go about kind of crafting the look of those videos. And I just, like, if I've got to get a review out, I've got to put this phone on a table, shoot it. Hopefully the depth of field is enough to make this look somewhat interesting. And then you publish on YouTube, especially being totally solo. You know, my ability to set up all day to get one or two shots so they look really good, I can't do that. Like, I need to work way faster than that. And so here, instead of having big table and always putting phone down on big table, and maybe sometimes I include a panning shot, what I'm hoping that this space will eventually grow into is moving the camera so that on this wall, I've got like some really pretty posters and maybe my Lego Apollo rocket, you know, that space rocket, the Lego model, 1,969 Lego pieces. And then if I want, I can kind of shoot into a corner. So part of the bookcase is visible and part of the wall is visible. And then against the door, I'm going to have the bookcase, which serves as the smartphone museum. I've got like way too many phones, but that would also be cool where I could physically move in that space, pull a phone out of this bookcase and talk about it to camera while I hopefully trust that my Panasonic autofocus will track me around this short room, then have an open window where I can kind of shoot out for some daylight sequences if I'm shooting in the morning. I've got mirrors on the closet doors. I'm hoping that, like, instead of having table bookcase, this is going to be a space where rotating the camera 45 degrees gives us a different shot, a different standing shot, a different sitting shot. And that's where I'm hoping to shake this up. So that's the plan. That's the goal, of making this way more open. And then now that we're starting to get vaccines out, I never had a guest in Gadget Lab 3. I really meant it. TK Bay had the open invitation to be the first person in Gadget Lab 3. And I kind of feel like that needs to be maintained. TK Bay needs my buddy, my brother in arms, my comrade. You know, he needs to be the first person in this space. So I'm going to be talking to TK hopefully in a week or two, where this is cleaned out enough where I can set up some bar stools. We can hook up this camera, you know, maybe kind of angle it so, you know, you can see the full room, and we can do a best of our week live in person. You know, like, it's, there's so much potential here, and it's going to be different than what I had before. And I'm excited about, you know, just the physical location and change in space being something that I have way more control over. Means that I can use that to kind of guide what I want my content to look like, where I haven't been able to do that for the last year. Vasico say, throw more money at the problem. A7S III for streaming with an f 1.4 lens, and then you don't have to care about the background. We just moved. I'm broke as a joke. We're setting aside like monies for budget. You know, like, I'm looking at, I want to do a Xiaomi versus OnePlus showdown. I'm looking at some budget phones to cover. I'm talking to Verizon about trying to do more network coverage, but that means, you know, using more Verizon phones, which I don't have a lot of Verizon phones in stock right now. And you're like, oh man, I'm gonna have to live the Panasonic lifestyle for a ways yet. Paul Puri, you have to get RGB. You have zero RGB. How can I respect a person with no RGB? If I end up in this space, someone else was asking if this was like a permanent place or if, I've lost the comment. I'm so sorry. This is a home we're buying. We've been in the market for years. The California real estate market is very difficult to work in. And I want to say 2 years before the pandemic, Marie and I started the search in earnest to find a good kind of townhome or a condo, something that, you know, was small, but, you know, reasonably laid out, reasonably spacious enough for us to live in for a while. And over the last year of the pandemic, like, we've been going to showing after showing after showing, putting in offer after offer after offer. We know that housing prices are probably inflated. Like, we're probably riding on top of a bubble for what this place is worth. I'm assuming that at some point over the near or medium term future, we might be upside down in this loan, have to look at some kind of refi if we can swing it. But we're looking at a place that we can live in for a while. Marie and I moved around a lot as kids. I was a military brat. Marie's folks, were school teachers, but they would work in different districts and they would have to move the family every time they changed school districts. And it's one of the things we're going to try. I really don't want to move Lex around every couple of years. It's traumatic. It is difficult. You get used to neighbors and then they're just gone one day. And the pandemic was a double whammy. I don't know if I've shared this story. I probably have because my brain is Swiss cheese. But Lex was in a daycare, and the daycare had just like a little minor outbreak of hand, foot, and mouth disease. You know, it's a gross little chicken pox kind of. I didn't even know this thing existed. It wasn't a major chicken pox like disease when I was a kid that I can remember. Apparently, it was, and I just didn't know about it. So anyway, we got real anxious, like, oh, we don't want Lex to be, you know, kind of rolling around with other kids or anything like that. And so we kept her out of the daycare for a couple days. Those couple days were the last days before everything got shut down during the pandemic. So here's this little four-year-old who's just moved. She doesn't know any of these neighbors. She didn't even get to say goodbye to any of her friends or teachers at her daycare. And then suddenly we're just in this lockdown state and mom and dad are freaking out and we're panic buying groceries because everyone else is panic buying groceries. Like, her entire world was just pulled apart. So acknowledging that moves are already stressful under the best of situations and under the best of conditions, we're really hoping that this is going to be the place where she at least makes it through middle school. We're really close to the local high school that she might go to. And for Marie and I, that sounds ridiculous. Like, every couple of years we would move. I don't know what it's like to grow up with people and have the same friends and have like a family home. This is the home I grew up in. Like, that doesn't exist for me. I took a trip back to one of the military bases that we were stationed at, and they had renovated. And so I'm getting these flashes of memory. Like, I'm looking at old black and white photographs that don't exist in my mind. And like, that's where the playground used to be. And that's the path that I used to walk to go to school every day. And these are the houses that we were stationed in, but now they look totally different. And the units have been all changed up. And I kind of want to give Lex some chance of growing up and living next to people that will grow up with her. It would be really cool if she doesn't have to have a car starting out high school. She could just walk to the high school. I know that's so lame, but it's like also like, oh, she's my daughter. And I was really hoping that self-driving cars would just be ubiquitous by the time she turned 16. This is what we're really hoping to make this place. We want to downsize. We want to get rid of all the junk that we've been carrying around for years, just as our little nomadic moving from apartment to apartment to apartment to apartment. It's time for us to like try and let some roots dig into the earth around us and see if we can become a part. I want to go to like little town council meetings, and I want to, you know, figure out what's going on with the school board, and I want to participate and be a part of that and not feel like, well, in 2 years they're probably going to jack up our rent, so we'll have to go live somewhere else. I'm getting too old for that mess, man. I'm getting too old for it. Sorry, I'm way behind in the chat. From Matt Tyler, yesterday on the special edition show, me, Sam, and TK had a moving conversation about you, and man, the love from us in the chat. You know, you always have the support you need to make decisions and make things better for you. And I really appreciate that. I felt awful. I really wanted to do kind of a send-off. On the Thursday stream with TK, we didn't get to do the stream. Marie and I were packing like mad. We were up until 2 a.m, finally like shoving the last couple things that we need to put into boxes before the movers showed up the very next day. And I was like, I kind of need it for my soul, but I really can't take the time to, like, jump into a live stream. So I'm glad TK was able to kind of fill that friend chat stream on your show, guys, because again, it's you need the friendly faces and you need the conversation. So it's really good times. From McCorkran 3, will you set up a memorial to LG? So I've kept, I had the special placard for the LG Velvet, and I've got the special, the reviewer kit for the Wing had its own little rechargeable LCD. So you got this little cardboard insert and you open the lid and a little screen would fire up and give you this rundown on the LG Wing. Super, super cool. So I am thinking, like, one of the cubbies might have that kind of stuff. Like, my Wing is technically limited edition. My Velvet was technically limited edition. I might try and make, like, a little box of my favorite phone. These are a few of my favorite things. So I might have to hook that up. Oh, Simon says Hypno bar stools for the gadget bar. We'll have to make an appointment. I really, really, really want to make that happen. I want to get Josh over here. I want to get Trisha over here. I want to start, like, talking to friends again. There are a few folks that, like, you know, from my history in Hollywood and production and multimedia and talking about the changing landscape of how we're all getting work done. And, you know, there are so many really fun ways that we can expand on this conversation. And obviously I've got to focus on audio and video production. And I feel like what we could learn, I mean, imagine, just think back the sort of some of the scarier days of the pandemic, and Saturday Night Live puts out an episode of their show where you could tell, like, half of that was shot on, like, iPhones, right? And that made it to broadcast TV. And I just kept thinking, you know, like, taking learning some of those lessons and taking some of that experience and sharing that with other people. And like, there's no reason, like, if Saturday Night Live are using smartphone cameras to literally get a show finished for broadcast television, there's no reason why we shouldn't expect or empower consumers to do more. And I feel like that's a more exciting conversation than, well, this has so many megapixels, but it's not good enough because it's not Sam Apple. You know, like, so let's grow out of that and let's see if we can figure out anything else to talk about. Dave Burns, Xiaomi wins every time. I'm totally not biased. Gary the Fireman, moving movers suck. The movers we hired, this is now our third time using them. And one of them, the guy who's running the little crew of driving the truck and handling all of the coordinating, he's literally been a part of every crew that we've hired for us. So, like, we saw him again. He's like, wait a minute. Didn't I just move you guys? You're like, yeah, it was about a year ago. Hey, bud, how you doing? We'll buy you lunch, too. Please don't break our stuff. He was a really, really nice guy. Dave Burns, housing market and housing crisis. So much fun. But seriously, congratulations on the house. And thank you. I appreciate that. And Armoratsu subscribed at tier one. I've probably mispronounced your handle, but thank you so much. I appreciate the support. This is great. And again, this is, I said this last week, and I want to make this, like, clear. Things like sprucing up the stream. I need to work on better plugins so I can show comments on screen as I'm reading them. I want little fanfare sounds, like someone subscribes and you hear trumpets. I want to flesh all this stuff out. Oh, Aditya, thank you so much. Congratulations. Hope you and the family have more or less settled in. Excited for the future of the channel and the new gadget lab. And clink in a beer stein for more memories to be made in the new house, man. We're exhausted and anxious, and stuff is still crazy, and we've got to work on work and getting bills paid, but it's feeling pretty good. It's definitely feeling pretty good. Simon says, Hypno, with the end of the year wrap-up video, can we please have an in memoriam section for LG? LG is going to get its own video, and there's definitely something I want to tackle. I'm not sure if I want to put it up as general YouTube fare, or maybe this can be just something that we kind of sideload to the Patreon. It kind of depends, because I know if I put all the effort into these videos and it's like older LG phones, YouTube is gonna poop all over that. It's not trending topic stuff. It's not brand new content. It's not exciting. It's not Apple. So we're just not going to share it with your subscribers. You know, just make more engaging content and then we'll share that. I want to kind of run down, like, these were some of the more formidable phones that influenced me as I became more of an LG fan. You know, like, I want to look at some of their experiments where they were trying to compete against the Note. You know, I've got the Flex, I've got the Flex 2, the downfall of the Snapdragon 810. I mean, I want to cover, like, kind of a personal history, a personal conversational history of my life with LG.
Hey folks, are you getting bored of the current collection of tech and geek commentary on the internet? Is the discussion of new electronics feeling a bit stale? Do you want to find some fresh voices to add to your subscription queue? Check out the community on r glowing rectangles on Reddit. Now, this subreddit was built to help new voices in the tech community find more audience, and we need your support. Sharing, commenting, and those precious, tasty upvotes. Reddit can radically help a content creator expand their reach. Do you know a producer who deserves more attention? Do you just want to find fun new stuff? Head on over to reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles and share or browse to your heart's content. Once again, reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles, and let's build something cool together.
Oh yeah, Kyle Ruggles. I remember when the 5D Mark II got its big show with an episode of House and one of the intros to SNL back in the 2010s. It's crazy to think how far we've come. I'm telling you, I've been digging deeper and deeper into sort of that little tiny community of kids trying to craft content and finding these, like, these wacky little short films. And, you know, the starter camera isn't a DSLR. It's not some fancy mirrorless. It's a phone on a gimbal. And there's already a tremendously more sophisticated language around production coming from teenagers. You know, like, what you know, if you read up, like, in film and in cinema history, and because I love, you know, the low budget schlock of the early Sam Raimi films, right? You know, like, they didn't have the equipment to do proper dolly moves or proper panning and tracking moves. So they'd literally just get 2x4s and smear Vaseline on them and mount the camera and push and slide to try and get a move. I just love that shot in Evil Dead 2 where we've got a close up on Bruce Campbell's face, and then the camera, like, zooms up into the sky. And you see this, like, wonderful forest shot. It's still one of the best pulled off camera moves, I think, in cinema history. And they did that by dropping a camera down on Bruce Campbell and then reversing the footage. You know, kids are doing even more significantly sophisticated production work with smartphones today. And there are so many strengths to that. And it just breaks my heart thinking, like, there's this whole population of mobile journalism and mobile cinema, mobile filmmakers. And then on the techie side, it's like, oh, but who really does things with their phones? And you're like, did you see this little horror film someone shot with their phone? And it's so organic and it's creepy. And because of the low production value, it's, like, even scarier than something that you would see in the movies. Like, and they're 12. You know? it's so good. Yeah, Al Spockley. Easy had an actual funeral for LG. The tech preacher, man. Again, another sort of brother in arms, just talking about the phones we like and the reasons why we like those phones. It's really a shame. Arthur Lee, you should make a movie where the heroes battle the YouTube algorithm. I had an idea to sort of do, like, I didn't want it to do it as gimmicky as, like, you know, The Verge would do the same person talking to themselves. I kind of wanted to do sort of a shot reverse shot conversation of, like, what it's like to review a phone. But that also feels really sort of self-important and indulgent. but I'm still writing a script to see if it's an idea that could kind of work. Like I could shoot it off this side and then I flip the camera and it could be kind of a conversation on the other side. And I don't know. We might see if something like that can happen, but I don't know. McCorkran 3. When I was a little kid, my parents got us the Fisher-Price camera. What was it that I had? So again, because I'm an audio nerd and I kind of always have been, my first production equipment, I had the Fisher-Price cassette tape deck. Hold on. Pardon the typing sounds because I haven't fully buffered my keyboard from the mic here, but Fisher, I can't spell either. My hands are so like, oh man, my arms are just dying from carrying things around. Cassette recorder. Let's see. It's the, yes, the crazy ugly brown Fisher Price. Let me see if I can pull this up. Oh wow, that was it. 1985. And I think I had mine in around 85 or 86. I think I was 6 years old when we got this. Big, chunky rectangle of light brown and dark brown plastic, and these little vents on the side, that was a microphone. And I would take this thing around with a cassette tape and I would produce little radio dramas. I don't know where I got the idea. I mean, it was like, it's 1985 or like 1986 or 87. Like radio dramas weren't a thing. I watched TV, but I would tell these stories and do different voices. And then I would hold the microphone, the entire recorder up to music playing on the radio. So I could kind of soundtrack. I was doing everything, just pushing record and then holding it up and then pushing stop. And you'd hear those big gaps and the click, click, you know, as you would go from recording to recording. You'd hear all the handling noise of me running around with the terrible mic that was built into this. And you know, like that was my gig. You know, that's how I didn't even know I was getting started as a multimedia content producer or storyteller. It was all because of, you know, things like the Fisher-Price gear. So again, I you know, much love and respect. If you had a Fisher-Price camera, you would have been my DP and I would have been your sound guy. Could have been, you know, 7-year-olds running around together shooting video off of Fisher-Price and I'll be recording the audio like a boom mic operator. It would have been awesome. That's good times. Paul, Juan is so old. What was it like riding horses and fighting dinosaurs? Well, let me tell you, velociraptors individually, not that bad, but they're pack animals. So you really got to look out for the two that come at you from the sides as you're trying to fight off the main one in the middle. But they're, you know, individually, they're not that big. So they weren't so bad to kind of spar with individually. Apologies, like I'm the stupid water bottle sounds and everything. Jim72165 subscribed tier one sub on Prime. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. That's great. Vasicose, I remember making short, hilarious horror movies with my friends in middle school in 176 by 144 on our phones. Ugh, I love it. I love it. Dave Burns, did we just have the I could fight a bear conversation? No, it's okay. Velociraptors were the size of small dogs. Okay. What you see in Jurassic Park is actually closer to, there's Utah raptor or Utah raptor, depending on how you want to pronounce that. And that's closer to like, oh, I've got a phone that's, I don't know. Oh, one of the phones on the bookshelf is on. Now Google's going to pop up every time I need to talk. Utah raptor was the size of kind of a small polar bear. Or I guess more like a larger black bear. But then there was also Deinonychus, which is Latin for terrible claw. It was one of the first raptors to be found. Deinonychus is my favorite dinosaur. I don't know why you need to know that. I just felt like sharing. But, you know, if you're talking bear-sized raptors, I would definitely lose. But Velociraptor was kind of teeny. I feel like I could take a single Velociraptor. It'd mess me up. I'd definitely get cut up like crazy. But being an evolved primate and probably being able to like pick up a rock to defend myself, I think I could take, you know, a medium-sized raptor, like a terrier-sized raptor. I think I could handle that. Well, yeah. So, from Welpimdam, the raptors in Jurassic Park more the size of Dilophosaurus. So Spielberg made the raptors bigger to make them more dramatic, and I think they would have been scarier as a swarm. You know, that's kind of what they did with Compsognathus. They made it a swarm of tiny little dinosaurs, and I think that's scarier. You can kind of punch one, and then 20 others jump on you. After Jurassic Park was shot, and I believe during post-production, there was a discovery of a large bear-sized raptor in Utah. And Utah raptor, or Utahraptor, is very similar to the raptors that you see in Jurassic Park. And TK Bay, what are you doing, buddy? Oh, man, TK, thank you so much. Gifting Tier 1 subs to King Turtle 2004, Blue Man Rule, Fox 777, Chatty Boy 3, and Hickey 85. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. Matt Tyler, nope, a raptor would rip you to bits. No chance, Juan. Well, TK, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And we're back on stream this Thursday. We've got to hang out. We've got to chat. And we've got a plan. We've got a plan for how you're going to come visit, and maybe I can, not this week, but maybe next week, make up some ramen to sweeten the deal, get you out here. All right. Sorry, I'm just catching up on the chat here. Oh, I'm seeing something, some condolences and stuff. Did someone post something sad? I'm sorry if I missed something going on. I'm just seeing condolences, so I hope hope everything's all right. Oh, Gary, putting my dad's dog down. I'm really sorry to hear that. Again, they're such wonderful members of the family, and I hope yours, you're able to kind of like give them a nice, comfortable send off. Again, over the last couple of years, one of the things that's been kind of killing us is I feel like Lex needs a dog, and we've been living in places where it's like we've got to beg for permission from landlords to try and get a dog. And like we moved in, we were scouting this new place and we were thinking about putting in an offer. And then we just saw like everyone in this community has pets and some of them are pretty big dogs. And you're like, yeah, this feels like we can finally maybe make that happen. And it'd be nice because, again, I feel like when I started my YouTube channel, Bigelow, my crotchety old Sharpay was like this brilliant subject for photography. And I don't want to share photos of Lex until Lex can contribute to a conversation about using her likeness. And you're like, yeah, having a dog again would be a good model to show off phone camera stuff. So I hope, Gary, that your family is able to take the time to kind of have fun and to remember and to grieve and to make that right, because it's tough. That's really hard. Oh, Dave Burns, we're in a townhouse and there's no pet rent, but Liz already had cats, so no dogs for us here. I think Marie would prefer we have cats, but I'm deathly allergic to cats, so I guess we'll just have to get a dog. Yeah, it's... Actually, I think Lex would like cats, too. There's something very persnickety about her personality. But I can't survive it, so we'll have to make that compromise. So, we should probably chat some tech. Strategic allergies for the win. Well, sorry. That's a bummer. I bet if they didn't cause respiratory failure, I'd probably like cats better. I feel like my perspective on cats is a little biased, right? It's a little biased against me dying horribly from having my lungs fail. But other than that, they're probably great. Get a corgi. It's like a cat, but it's a dog, actually. Actually, you know what's kind of funny? We had Bigelow, and he was a persnickety Shar Pei. He was so cat-like. He was very aloof. He was kind of like a really, 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 really dumb cat. He was just a wonderful dog. He would do these little, like, pounces on like, flies when we would take him out on walks. He was always kind of, like, playing. He would try to play with whatever he was hunting, but he was all big and dumb and cumbersome. So, like, he would try and run up on like, squirrels thinking he was really going to hunt them. Somewhere in his lineage, somewhere in his past, was an amazing hunting dog. Over the years of breeding Shar Peis, all of that was bred out of his family line, and what was left is kind of, like, a really dumb cat of a dog. He was very aloof, very limited sort of scope of who was a part of the family, and everyone else was sort of casually dismissed with a, he would just sort of walk away from you. He would like kind of roll on his back and you would do tummy scritches. But then if it was too much, he'd like start snipping and like pawing at you, kind of like a cat. It was really funny. I don't think all Shar Peis are like that. Shar Peis are probably more like Chows, but, you know. Steve, yeah, let's talk. So let's pull up. Steve is asking about the Pixel 6 design. And we talked about this a little last year. We talked about this a little last week. But Pixel 6, we've been seeing the leaks. We've been seeing the specs. I'd be curious also kind of get a sense in the chat while I'm pulling up pictures here that we can kind of just scan through as a visual guide, so it's not all my face for this entire stream. How are you all feeling about the Pixel 6 leak designs? I'm feeling very positive in terms of a practical hardware pivot. So here, let me pull up some photos here. And looking at these different renders of what the Pixel 6 could look like. And I've liked symmetrical visor stripe. So the camera module sticks out from the back of the phone, and it looks like RoboCop's visor or Bender the robot, you know, something that kind of bulges from the back of the phone. But I really like that it is symmetrical across the entire width of the phone. I really like this. This looks more correct to me, and it recalls some of my favorite classic Huawei and Pixel devices, which had kind of that visor look, you know, the Nexus 6, some of the Mate series would do this kind of camera arrangement. I like this better, and I'm hoping that because the camera strut, this camera module strip is consistent across the entire back of the phone, that it won't do that really obnoxious wobble. You know, like I've got a OnePlus in a case here, and the case doesn't completely clear. You need extra border around the camera module on the OnePlus, right? So this is not flush. The case doesn't make it flush with the camera module. Now, even in a case, there's that little teeny wobble whenever it's flat down on a desk. And it's not a big deal. It's really not. This doesn't change. Like, it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't hamper the performance of the phone. Like, it's fine. It's fine. And yet, I'm sitting there, and I can't help but, like, kind of finger wiggle the phone, like, as this nervous, agitated habit. It's constantly just wiggling, and I don't like it. And Kyle Ruggles is saying it looks kind of like the Nexus 6P. I like getting back to that design language, and I've always liked the sort of two-tone look. My Pixel 4 XL is black and white with an orange accent for the power button, and that takes me right back to what the Pixel 6 looks like. You know, again, the renders are kind of either showing a white and off-white or kind of a cream color with an orange stripe at the top and a black camera module. I think this looks clean. I like the look of what Google's doing. I mean, again, if the Pixel 6 is making this, who said that? Simon says Hypno, the Cylon LaForge Google can pull off Cylon LaForge, I am absolutely on board this as a design language moving forward. I like that. Oh, Cylon LaForge. A Corcoran 3 astrophotography mode will be good on a bigger sensor. So I think that's the other thing to get a little excited about, is that this should be the first Pixel to finally step up to a larger camera sensor. I know The Verge was tripping over themselves to talk about how no way a Pixel 5 could ever be worth it for the money because it has a smaller camera sensor. Even though the more expensive iPhone 12 Pro used a similar sized camera sensor and probably didn't achieve any better photography. For all of Apple's magic software, we're going to ignore that. iPhone 12s are totally fine. Pixels are not worth it because we're The Verge. You know, when we kind of rig a conversation, now I want to see what can Google do with image processing software, because that's their big game. Computational photography. You can't fully escape the physics of camera hardware. Like, you need a bigger sensor, bigger lens. You need to kind of keep pace. I still feel like if we're talking about average consumers, like that bulk, middle, peak of the bell curve kind of average use, Pixel 5 is still a brilliant shooter. Like, easily in like the top five. And one of the most streamlined and consumer accessible ways to get pretty HDR photos out of a phone. Like, I'm not conflicted recommending a Pixel 5 to an average consumer in the slightest. In fact, they'll probably like the photos from that phone better than any of the fancier, bigger sensor phones that we can talk about. You know, like, there's a reason why I like LG. It's not to recommend it to my aunt who's only going to do a couple casual point-and-shoot style snapshots. Like, that's not the right phone for her. A Pixel or an iPhone is the right phone for her. So, if Google can finally step that up, the thing that's going to kill me is it's going to be more expensive. They've got a custom chip. They've got their own SoC. It's going to have a nice screen, probably high refresh rate, because the Pixel 5 on a mid-ranger chipset had a high refresh rate display. It's going to have that periscoping telephoto sensor. It's going to have the larger main sensor. I hope the ultra-wide can keep up so that all three cameras can shoot 60 frames per second. This stuff costs money. And it's going to be so frustrating. Like, well, I mean, I can like trade in another phone and on a carrier deal get a Samsung for almost free. So it's not worth it for the monies. If Google really wanted to compete, what they should do is give me way more than a Samsung. And then I only need to give them a half a ham sandwich. And then it would be worth it for the monies. But I'd still pick Samsung because I get better SEO. You know, like, that's the conversation we're going to see. It's nothing can be good enough from techies unless you get crazy good traffic to your videos. If Pixel 6 videos blow up, you know, viewers are really going crazy to watch Pixel 6 videos, then suddenly the tone of the conversation is going to change. Yo, wow, this really surprised me. Wouldn't you know it, through pure meritocracy, just the merit of the phone, I'm won over. Here's my wacky, excited face thumbnail instead of my frowny face thumbnail. And it's all totally rigged. And that's what I'm so tired of trying to weed through, is it's obvious. It's obvious that, like, these things aren't really getting the conversations about what the device is. It's that when you see a review, it's only about what the phone isn't. It's not an iPhone. It's not a Samsung. Must not be worth it. Wah, wah. So McCorkran 3 put in a guess. What do we think a Pixel 6 should cost? Top of the line specs, probably carrier deals instead of direct sales from Google. So we got to talk full MSRP, and I would put that full MSRP against the full MSRP of a Galaxy S21, of an iPhone 12, or even a 12 Pro maybe. Where do we think this is going to land? Excuse me, my upper limit. If we get the Pixel 6 Pro or Pixel 6 XL or whatever the big one is gonna be called, my guess is $999 for a Pixel 6 large edition, hopefully with 256 gigs of storage. That would be my get. 256 is already starting to get a little lean for me because I'm shooting everything 4K 60. I've always shot everything 4K and now 4K 60. And on the OnePlus, I'm shooting a lot of 4K 120. It's getting kind of tight where you have all of your apps, some room for some media, because I still like to have lossless audio files and those take up more space. And then shooting a lot of video, not having a memory card is getting kind of tight. So I'm kind of hoping a Pixel 6 around $999 for that 256. I think in there you've got the sweet spot against a OnePlus 9 Pro, a Galaxy S21 Plus, with maybe some of the competition bleeding over into an S21 Ultra. I think it's going to be way more hardware than what you get in an iPhone at $1,000. An iPhone 12 Pro is not a great buy. Get an iPhone 12 or get the Pro Max. I think the 12 Pro is kind of mediocre for being a $1,000 phone. That to me, I think, would be a really great competitive right in the zone kind of play from Google. Let's see, what did people say here? Okay, sorry, I should start with Michael. I wonder if this one will cost more than $1,000, maybe $799 and $999. A Pixel 6 at $799 and a Pixel 6 Plus at $999 makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's good. Outrageous. I'm going to circle back to this. The Whitechapel chip is reported to be in between the 865 and the 888. Let me get through pricing and stuff. King Turtle is saying a rumor says 1,000. John Fee is saying, I guess, 999. Gary the Fireman saying 1099, which I could totally see. Again, I feel there's a good Google argument to be made that, like, we're in the ballpark of an S21 Plus or a OnePlus 9 Pro. You know, the main camera sensor is probably going to be smaller than the OnePlus 9 Pro's main camera sensor, but the telephoto should be better. And again, with Google's computational telephoto, like, again, that's a good fight back and forth. All other specs being kind of similar. If OnePlus is charging just over $1,000 for the OnePlus 9 Pro, I feel Google has a good faith argument to put their top of the line, premium tier, crown jewel phone in that same conversation. From Doomer, part of the whole problem is confirmation bias of consumers who already bought their Sam Apple phones. You know I feel that. I definitely agree. Simon says Hypno, $899 to $1,199. That's a big spread, Simon. I'm going to need you to narrow that down. Sophie's Choice, top of the line, Pixel 6 XL or Pixel 6 Pro. What's the price point? Tell me in the comments, Simon. Outrageous is saying Pixel 6 at $799 for $128 and $899 for $256. Then Pixel 6 Pro, $999 for $128 and $1099 for $256. You know what? That makes sense. I could see that. Again, in having those dividers, there's so much where Samsung is now lockstep trying to, like, kind of anticipate what Apple is going to price their products at. And I kind of feel like OnePlus and Google are looking at iPhone 12 pricing. And that's what's kind of guiding the direction of, well, I mean, we've got this kind of hardware and we're going to offer this kind of software support and we're going to do this kind of aftermarket. Like, there's no reason why we can't charge as much or charge a little bit less for better hardware than an iPhone. So you might be on there, Outrageous. That might be right on. Gary the Fireman saying, I'm prepared to pay $1,099 for 256 gigabytes of storage. And I feel at that point, like, It's premium tier. Like, we're right at the top. Like, that makes sense to me that you could kind of slot in at that price point.
Just a quick interjection here, folks. I love highlighting good work and talented people, producers and writers who deserve more attention. So here's a quick word from someone making cool stuff on the internet, and I hope you check out what they have to offer.
Are you in the market for a new pair of headphones, Bluetooth speaker, or some true wireless earbuds? then you've come to the right place. I'm here to help you make better audio purchasing decisions. From budget brands like Empow, Taltronics, to more well-known brands like Sony, Sennheiser, and AKG, I'm reviewing them all, including Soundcore and one more. My name is Jeff, also known as El Jefe Reviews all over the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And I make tech reviews of audio products from a regular person's perspective. I answer the questions so you know what to buy, what works, and what doesn't. So before you make that purchase decision, make sure you check out one of my full reviews, and that way you get all the info you need to make a better decision with your money.
From Dave Burns, I actually think having more options for storage and RAM makes the Pixel even less profitable to 2 SKUs per phone and 2 colors per phone. Lowest Pixel will match the Samsung S21 starting MSRP. It's tricky. Because you're absolutely right. Having more options and variations definitely kind of eats into costs. But something tells me this is going to be a phone that's going to sell a little like an LG. I have to believe that Google is looking hard at carrier and reseller partnerships. And Pixels are built and sold in very small batches, in very small quantities. So I would imagine that, you know, maybe one color SKU is going to end up becoming kind of a bit more of a limited edition. Or a bit more difficult to get your hands on, but there's not going to be a ton of variation. They're going to be streamlining this manufacturing process as much as they can. And then sort of overwhelmingly one style of this phone is going to be kind of become the norm. You know, like this is the Pixel, you know, again, it could be the 256 is selling like crazy. And then the 128s are sitting on shelves. We're just going to keep making the 256s to fulfill the demand. But then also, we know that the main selling Pixel is the A series. So for every, you know, premium Pixel that's sold, you know, it's probably a 15-to-1 ratio. You know, Pixel 5As are going to be selling, you know, 20-to-1 for a Pixel 6. So we'll need to see. Oh, okay. So McCorkran 3, the 888 gets too hot. Oof. I would have been fine with an 865 or an 870 if they had kept the Snapdragon. And I agree. I've been going through a lot of performance testing between like the OnePluses and the Galaxy and the phones with 888s. So I'm sorry, I've already forgotten who brought it up originally, that the performance expectations for Whitechapel, Google's custom silicon, somewhere in between an 865 and an 888. So I would imagine, this is my guess, I believe Google is probably going to stick with an octa-core chipset that is based on 2 quad-core, big-core, little-core designs. I don't think Whitechapel is going to have the one big performance core that's on the CPU for the 888. I don't know if it's going to be reference design on A77s or A78s in terms of what ARM has sort of guided, but I think that's going to be their play. And I'm wondering if it's going to be more like the 865, where one of the big cores is specifically designed to be just clocked at a higher speed. So that's when you look at an 865, you see 3 clusters of CPUs, 4 little cores, 3 big cores, 1 big core clocked at a higher frequency. I'm thinking that might be the vibe for Whitechapel. An 888 has 3 banks, but it's 4 little cores, 3 big cores, 1 really big core that's supposed to like really kick into gear when you need the extra horsepower. So I'm really hoping. I would love to see refined fabrication, maybe a die shrink on 865 style power. I think that would be a better daily driver solution than the big performance core on 888. The Cortex X1, I think, needs refinement, needs a die shrink, needs better power management, needs better throttling, how it manages its clock speeds. I don't think it's an across-the-board consumer benefit, especially when the phone really only wants to be used in short bursts. So my hope for Whitechapel is go last gen. There is nothing really taxing an 865. I mean, some of the more aggressive games out there, and Genshin is going to run a little slower. Maybe you're only going to hit 40 frames per second instead of like hovering in the mid 50s. But so many games are built for 765s. Snapdragon 855 performance is overkill for a lot of applications and for a lot of games. So that's kind of what I want. I'd love to see Google, through their own hardware software optimization, get back into the AI race, get back into Neural Core, those co-processors that really speed up individual applications and specific use cases. And then the main CPU performance can take a back seat. We can coast for a year on 865 performance and still be gross overkill for what most people need. Matt Tyler, we know that the Pixels were started at 128 because of Google's cloud storage. The fact that they charge for that, they will push the 128 gig versions at lower prices to counter the costs for the cloud. Sucks, but it's a smart business move from their point of view. The 256 versions will be $100 more than the 128s for that reason. I buy that. I think we could see that. Simon says, Hypno is saying, will Whitechapel have a neural core like the 2XL? And someone else... Someone else was saying that it was. Sorry, I think McCorkran 3 was saying that there was an expectation that there was going to be a new ISP or a DSP or whatever they're calling it in their phones. But yes, I would expect some return to neural core and the hardware that's used to kind of chew up imaging data being even more aggressive. And also Michael is saying Google is reportedly using huge batteries, which is interesting. Also, wonder if that has something to do with the energy efficiency of Whitechapel. That's kind of why I'm thinking we're going to be sort of in a more 865 style SoC design. Again, it's going to kill me. It's really going to drive me nuts. There are going to be all these tryhards and these influencers going, it's not as powerful. It needs to be more powerful. It's going to be worth it for the money. So like, you can get a phone that's more powerful for the same money. And you're like, you can't show me anything that you're doing on that phone that would need that power. Your review is like geared towards someone using this like they would use a $200 entry-level phone that they bought, you know, or they got for free for signing up on an MVNO. I need to see that use. And in sustained use, I kind of think that's probably the better territory to be in. But I also feel we've got a triple whammy happening. We're going to go back up to a premium power chipset. We've got 5G radios that need to be managed. Because this isn't a Qualcomm chipset, the radio and the modem probably need to be off die. So they're going to be a separate component against the main SoC. And that's kind of what happens with the iPhone. Again, iPhone battery draw, the battery capacity is not kept up with all of the individual components now to support 5G and millimeter wave, hotter GPU performance. iPhone 12s are struggling with battery life in ways that iPhone 11s weren't having the same kinds of problems. I shouldn't say problems. It's just where we're at. And then on top of that, we know that this is likely to have a higher refresh rate display. And on the Pixel 6 XL or the Pixel 6 Pro, it's probably going to be quad HD, you know, again, like a OnePlus. So higher resolution and faster refresh rate with 5G radios and a hotter chipset, a hotter SoC, you need the bigger battery. And I'm expecting battery life to be kind of in this mediocre ballpark that we're in. Like Galaxies, battery life is miserable if you're really using all that eye candy and you're really hitting those radios hard. OnePlus, I can kind of get to dinner time and still have some room to spare on moderate use, but like if you sacrifice something, you sacrifice some resolution or some or refresh rate, battery life just extends dramatically. Nothing feels like my V60 has. This is just such a tank of an all-day, two-day phone, especially when we weren't traveling as much. Like, I would forget to charge it and it'd go 3 days, and you're like, I can still make it through lunch. So, yeah, it's... I think just battery life and power management needs to be the next hurdle that we cross. I would love to see manufacturers just hang for a year. We don't need more compute power. We really don't. We really haven't needed more compute power since the Snapdragon 845. The 855 was a nice bump, and if you really tried to like create content, you were chewing up 4K video, that helped. I mean, again, I personally will always gravitate towards the most powerful pocket computer I can get my hands on. But 865 to 888, we could just hang out here. You know, give us another year of the same performance, but find those ways to improve battery life and runtime and power management and thermal management. And I think we'd all like that a lot better. There's something buzzing under my desk, and I don't know what it is. And I'm worried that it's like one of the fans in my workstation. It's distracting as hell. Aditya, long-term follow-up on phones running an 888. I want to see how the occasional thermal message now, fresh out of the box, will contribute to the aging of the phone. So I definitely have plans on that. I'm not sure what phones to focus on. I'm likely to lean towards Sony as my own personal content creation phone, but I got to play with one and see if it's an Xperia 1 or if it's an Xperia 5. I've spent the most time this year with OnePluses. I'm hoping to get my hands on a lower tier Xiaomi Mi 11 soon. Like, I really want to spend some time with the Mi 11i and compare that against the regular, not the Pro, but the regular OnePlus 9, because I think that would be a fun fight. And again, it's another one of those like techies don't know anything about cameras kind of videos, because neither have optical image stabilization and the cameras look phenomenal on both. So I want to do some more snarky commentary on that kind of stuff. But we'll have to see. I feel like this is going to be an odd year to look back on. 2021, the devices that we got here, I think focusing on things that average consumers probably don't care about. This is weird to say because I always want more power, but if you can't really tap that power and you can't manage it appropriately, then you don't get more power. You can have this amazing engine, but you have a terrible transmission, you're not going to get, you know, horsepower and torque down to the wheels. You're going to lose a lot of that capability, and that's kind of what the 888 feels like. The manufacturer needs to jump through additional hoops to really get that power down to the wheels. And not every manufacturer is making good use of that. So I think we're going to look back on this and you're like, yeah, on paper, the specs were amazing, but the phones ran hot. The battery life was miserable. I think average consumers would care more about the same tier of performance that they've had for a couple of years. But then like your battery now goes for 2 days under the same kind of use. I think they would care more about that. Again, why I was so sad that the V60 was panned so hard, because it was that phone. And a DTNL saying 845, dude, I drive my phone hard. It does everything well. Yeah, because the 845 is a badass chip. It really is. I mean, it's like from 820 to 855 is just this glorious stair step. Every single generation, you know, 820 to 835 to 845 to 855, you could count on better performance, better radio management, better power, better battery life. Everything got better. And then 865 has got some weird caveats. And Kyle Ruggles, I'm still loving my OnePlus 6. I don't need more power than this. Same thing. We talked about this. Marie is loving that Pixel 4a 5G. It's not more powerful. It is less powerful. In every performance test I can run, it is less powerful than the LG G7 that she had before, and it doesn't matter. It It's snappier, it's quicker, the software is better polished, the cameras are easier for her to use. I mean, like, across the board, she is digging the Pixel 4a 5G. And if you were good with your set of apps, like, you're not trying to push the phone harder with more aggressive gaming, why are you spending more? Spend less and keep the same tier of performance. Oh, and Dave Burns. Everyone give Dave an F in chat for his Gigabyte motherboard shorting out on his Threadripper. Oh, that's rough. I'm feeling for you, man. Matt Tyler, what do you mean stay here for another year? How will Qualcomm and manufacturers charge more? That's so inconsiderate, Juan. So I don't know if he's still listening, but Dr. Ian, Tech Potato, has been doing just freaking amazing videos on processor design, the costs that go into making, fabricating. I'm going to try and follow up some of his conversation talking about the recent political moves where our government is looking at, like, how can we help subsidize the investment for chip fabrication? Maybe bring more of that business here to the United States. And the numbers are shocking. What you need to invest in to stay at the bleeding edge of processor design and turn a profit is incredible. And so even though the numbers sound huge, what our government's talking about subsidizing over the period of time that they're talking about really isn't going to be that directly competitive against what, you know, TSMC or Samsung put into their chip fabrication technologies. So when I say that, I mean, it's very casual and it's very easy for me to say. I want the same tier of performance, but I want to see a die shrink or refinements to improve battery life and thermals. We're talking about a $20 billion investment in the next die shrink for chip fabrication? That's a lot. You need to sell a lot of SoCs. You need to make sure your yield is really crazy high to pull off the economic impact of that kind of work. So it's very, again, as a very entitled techie, it's very easy for me to say that's what I want. But I think there's a huge argument to be made there. And honestly, I think it's Apple that could probably make the strongest messaging around that. You know, think about an iPhone keynote where Tim Cook goes out on stage and he says, hey, the iPhone chips are so far ahead of the competition. They're so far ahead of the curve. During this transition, as more people are firing up 5G, we've heard from our iPhone users that what you want to focus on are these core areas like battery life. You want to be able to use your phone out in the field more. So for iPhone 15, what we're going to give to you, we're going to stay at the same tier of performance because we're still going to outperform the competition, but our new technologies in iPhone 15 are going to dramatically increase your battery life. You might not get 2 days of use out of this because you're going to be using your phone more every single day. You're going to be doing more with your phone out in the field, away from the charger. This is what we're going to do for sustained performance because we know iPhone is really going to lead the way for the next generation of conversations about longevity, battery improvements, and this is going to be better for the environment. I think that would go over like gangbusters. And again, it would still be an incredible effort in processor design to achieve that. I mean, I don't want to minimize how difficult it is. I mean, look at the struggles that Intel's going with their recent chip fabrication issues. That's not easy to pull off. It is a very different philosophy of iterative CPU design. But again, I think standing ovation in the Apple, UFO, when we can have press conferences in person again, I think people would go crazy for that. And I think Apple could lead that messaging. I think it would be easy for them to make that a statement and then turn that into the next desirable trait of next generation smartphone design. Sorry, I'm way behind on the chat. You know, let's kind of, oh, I did see some Fs for Dave Burns. Everybody, thanks for giving Dave a pat on the back there. Oh, and Tech Loving Mama saying hey. Everyone say hey, Tech Loving Mama. Yeah, Matt Tyler, the problem with older phones like a OnePlus 5T isn't power, it's battery life and software support. Absolutely. Man, when I started pulling out that Nova on the 625, and this phone is getting on almost 5 years old now, it is still a crazy performer. I just know that if I had been really using it as my daily driver, I would have nuked that battery and that would have throttled the phone performance. Ah. Ugh. All over the place here. I need to get a new chair. Gadget Lab 4 needs to not have this crap. Ah, gaming chair. I don't like gaming chairs. This was not a good buy for me. Fat Produce, after hearing your typing, what keyboard are you using, and are you using cherry blue switches? So what is this? It's the MSI that I reviewed a while back. This is the GK50 Elite. And it doesn't use cherry. What is the manufacturer of the switches? Is it Omron? I can't remember the name of the switches. This is terrible. Again, I'm such a tech poser. But they are blue equivalent. So they are the clickier, clackier kinds. Oh, Matt Tyler is telling me to check my posture and stretch. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, they are the real clicky. I like the sound. I need the, not only the tactile feel, but the auditory. I need it. I work by myself. I'm not harassing coworkers. So, you know, DTNO hashtag some needs that lumbar support guy. I need an office chair, and I want an office chair like mesh, an open mesh. I know, like, I've been talking about that for a while too. It's just so much to tackle. Dave Burns, box browns are good too, though. Mech keys, master ace. Yeah, I just like the little ticky tack. Let me see. What is a MSI GK50 Elite? Kale. They're kale blue. I knew that. Oh God. This is what happens. Like, I get out of the flow with Newegg. And, like, all of the peripherals and gaming hardware and stuff. And, like, it starts evaporating off of my brain. Kale, of course. Oh, I'm so slow like that. I got to catch up. Why don't we do a quick subreddit plug? So we can kind of look at some of the videos that went up on reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles. Dave Burns, you could have had box blues. You chose wrong. You nerd. Oh, Jim. Sorry, before we get into the subreddit, Jim is saying my Note won't recognize my SIM card, so I'm back using my Honor View 10. It works fine. How gorgeous of a phone was the View 10? View 10 and View 20 were such high watermarks for this, like, older idea of flagship killing OnePlus style phones. The View 20, I mean, again, your View 10 is just phenomenal, but the View 20 is still just this monster performer, and the camera sensor is so solid, and it has, like, the desktop mode, and you're like, this was such a good phone, and it was so feature rich. I'm hoping Honor can make some inroads back into North America again, because I really want to see what they can play with. I miss, you know, and again, the crazy, like, the way that the glass was made and the design and the patterning. I adored Honor phones. All right, subreddit. I did not win the subreddit this week. I didn't even do housekeeping this week. Okay, we're going to do housekeeping in the subreddit. I need to talk about me first. And yeah, dust a door. View 20 light reflection is almost second to none. Completely agree. So the only video I got out last week was my review of the Mic Me Pocket, a wireless mic with no receiver. I'm a huge audio nerd, and Mic Me is this boutique-y little company. It's got pedigree from AKG Studio microphones. I just love this quirky flavor of audio recording. They sent over their pocket recorder. It's kind of slotted to compete up against like the Rode Wireless Go. Different pros and cons and some different features and benefits and some different drawbacks. But it was a really fun mic just to kind of walk around with. And I almost fell into my swimming pool trying to do a cool, like, I'm so hip, I can just walk backwards by the swimming pool. You see me look down at my feet for just a split second. And what you can't see is how my foot almost caught the lip on the swimming pool that would have caused me to tumble in. And that would have been hilarious. I'm almost kind of upset it didn't happen. So, you know, somegadgetguy.com. You can catch that video. It's the only video I put out last week. This week, I'm hoping to get more out. We'll see how that goes, because it's really hard working in an incomplete office. Simon says, Hypno, honor, quote, we are definitely separated from Huawei. Honest. Wink, wink, LOL. All right. Top stories, reddit.com/r/goingrectangles. I complain a lot about the YouTube algorithm, how social media is manipulating us into consuming content in ways that benefit their platforms. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a lot of the division in the tech community coming from people admonishing influencers and picking apart review trends. And I'm definitely a part of that conversation. So instead of just trying to hope that YouTube makes their platform better, looking for other opportunities that we can contribute to a conversation, help to share, help to promote, and that all comes from your engagement and your interactions. Again, if you want things to change, you can't just keep consuming content the same way. Oh, I really hope Samsung brings back the headphone jack, so let me keep buying all the phones that they make without headphone jacks, and maybe they'll change their mind. Doesn't work that way. You've got to vote with your time, you've got to vote with your wallet, and for helping change how viewers find content, we've got to come up with our own off-platform solutions. Reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles. A number one, top story of the week coming from Tech Alter, the man behind the world's largest phone empire, the story of BBK. Now, I believe Tech Alter used to work for Oppo. Someone please correct me if I have that wrong. But it is kind of incredible to see like what BBK, the sort of umbrella company that owns Oppo, Vivo, Realme, OnePlus, I mean, it's right there in the thumbnail, some really phenomenal work talking about market, analyzing the market. His ability to kind of dig in and explain trends is absolutely phenomenal. So again, not only is he the top spot, he also managed the second place win for his side channel, The Friday Checkout, where he kind of, you know, more casually discusses news and trends. And they're talking about how Google and Samsung are finally joining forces on making some new gear, which could be really exciting. I want to send a congratulations, CW Tech hitting 5,000 subs. That's the number three story on Glowing Rectangles. Again, this wasn't, the video is linked, but he wanted to just post a thank you to this community here at our Glowing Rectangles. We've got Adam Reviews Tech checking out, sharing, I should say, his gaming and video editing workstation. We've got, I don't know how to pronounce that. Audububa? Bubba? I don't know. Yeah, 700 subscribers hitting, what is this? The one, two, three, four, number five video. In the top five is someone with 700 subscribers. How to move OBB gaming files in Android 11 if you want to do some game backups. When was the last time you fired up your YouTube feed and you looked at like the string of videos that YouTube was saying, hey, you should check out, and you saw a creator with under 1,000 subs, like promoted in the first five hits in your content feed? Because that kind of stuff, I'm going out of my way to subscribe to channels with fewer subscribers, channels that are just starting, that are getting built up, that are growing. And YouTube doesn't send me their stuff at all. I've got to go looking for it. That's kind of the magic of what I love about this community on Glowing Rectangles. Just rounding out the top 10, average consumer reaction. This was posted by Creative Crab 7435. It's just funny how IRL people don't prefer photos taken on the iPhone. Normally prefer Samsung and OnePlus photos, but iPhone users regard the iPhone as the benchmark for smartphone cameras. And they linked a video, guess the phone, get the phone, iPhone 12 Pro Max versus S21 Ultra versus OnePlus 9 versus Pixel 5. And it is, it's a kind of the man on the street style game show where they show people four different photos, or photos of the same subject, but from four different phones. And then they try to guess, like, which one is your favorite and which phone took that photo. And of course, when it's blind, people suddenly, their opinions don't line up with their bias or their preference. Every single time you see a tech reviewer label the phones and then guide the commentary, it's to satisfy the bias of the largest community of people that view their content. If you put up photo comparisons and the photo comparison is totally blind, there is no clear winner. Smartphone cameras have gotten that good across the board. No one phone wins. That is a horrific tech reviewer fallacy that phones somehow have won the camera game. A Pixel 5 in most shooting scenarios is perfectly competitive against iPhone 12 Pro Maxes and Galaxy S21 Ultras, and it's in very specialized kinds of situations where better hardware makes a noticeable difference. And increasingly, you've got to push camera hardware to the absolute extremes to try and make that stuff happen. If a photo comparison is not blind, then there is, in my opinion, it is only being shot to guide the conversation towards the bias of a particular audience.
Hey, podcast listeners. I work really hard to find mutually beneficial ways to support production on my various distribution platforms. Instead of just running ads on this podcast and hoping they don't annoy you, I want to find products or services that you really will get something out of and that can help fund my production. While I do talk about some of those items in ads throughout this podcast, I've never created one easy-to-view master list of my current partnerships until now. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. If you'd like to help contribute, support production of this podcast and my various videos and reviews, head on over to somegadgetguy.com. At the top, there's going to be a link for Support Some Gadget Guy, and you can see what my current partnerships are. At the time this podcast was recorded, in addition to my Patreon, we can hook you up with a $10 voucher for shopping a new OnePlus, save 20% on some One More headphones, sign you up for Google Fi service, Amazon affiliate links, Audible, or you can grab a Mega Pickle coffee mug of your very own. Savory, delicious Mega Pickles. Head on over to somegadgetguy.com, support banner on the top right-hand side of my website, and hopefully you find something cool, something you like, while also kicking me a little extra scratch.
All right. Wrapping up, just a few more of these. One of my videos actually made it into the top 10. I did a guide for MVNOs, talking about different ways that you can save money on your smartphone bill. I might be switching to Mint. I've had great experiences on Google Fi, but my wife and I were kind of shopping some of the different plans out there, and Mint, if we pay for a year, might get our money. Pixel 4a 5G, the camera is nuts. That was from Team Vry with 1,500 subscribers. We've got Adam at Tech Odyssey looking at Key 2, Onward Mobility, the Titan Pocket, you know, sort of a BlackBerry State of the Union. And then we've got a number of Pixel 6 commentary. We've got a video on the Redmi Note 10 from Gizmo Hub. We've got Enabong Etta at Bored at Work looking at the Poco M3 Pro. Some more rumors on Pixel 6. Mr. Mobile looking at the Palm Centro when phones were fun. I might need to dig out some of my old Windows mobile phones. And Latrell Jennings. I'm going to upvote this right now. Oh, sorry. I skipped right over Painfully Honest Tech looking at Apple lossless audio do you want Apple lossless audio? Here's how you do it. And then Latrell Jennings wrapping up. I'm way past my top 10, but Latrell Jennings with Galaxy Note 9. Is it worth it in 2021? And of course, the answer is yes, because the Galaxy Note 9 is still a tank of a productivity phone and kind of represents the last true no compromises version of a Note for its era. After that, from the Note 10 on, we were kind of picking apart, you know, features and losing things that we liked. Note 9, I would say, is still absolutely worth it for the monies. All right. Let's see. Dave Burns, good luck on your new carrier. So many life changes coming up. Yeah, I've been kind of digging in MVNOs. You know, if I'm going to be on T-Mobile's network anyway, and I'm looking at different like payment plans. The thing I liked about Google Fi is I still think it's the best option if you're doing a lot of international travel. Like the way that Google, I mean, again, it's you pay per gigabyte, and that's kind of a bummer. But you land in a new country and your phone goes, hey, you're in Germany now. Enjoy LTE. Bye. Like that was so handy. So I think what I'm going to do is maybe switch to Mint as our main carrier. And then I'll keep a paused Google Fi SIM around so that when I do finally get back on airplanes again, when I need to travel internationally, I can just fire that SIM card up and know that I've got data when I land and everything's fine. I really hated trying to deal with carriers for, well, I'm going to need international support. Okay, well, if you need 1 gigabyte of data in the UK, it's only going to cost you 3 times your normal bill, and then we'll screw up your billing after that. And when you try and turn it off, we'll have to reset your plan, and then everything changes. And like and especially like AT&T was the worst. And I was, when I was doing a lot of travel, my main SIM card was on AT&T for a while. So when Google Fi came around, the first time I fired up Fi was on a Pixel 5. And like, wow, not only did this work, it was stupid cheap. And this was really easy. I just stuck with Fi for most of this time. So now, again, it's kind of anxious, like, do I really want to switch? Do I want to port my number over? What do I want to do? I want to try and do Google Voice again. Maybe I can do Google Voice instead of Google Fi. And I don't know. It's all wackiness and crazy. Yeah. And Dave Burns, I don't know when it's going to happen. I might sit out the next round of trade shows because I'm anxious about it too. Oh, my company has said we're going back to traveling soon and I'm terrified. I feel that. I definitely feel that. I'm feeling better about, you know, maybe for a short flight, you know, like a commuter flight up to San Francisco or to visit some family in the Southwest, like jump on an airplane and double mask and I should be fine. International travel, being around tons of different people, all of the mixing of different flavors of flu virus and coronavirus, like I'm not missing that. I miss seeing people and I miss hanging out and I miss collaborating and I want to get back to that. But if you've ever gotten the funk of a show floor flu, I definitely don't miss that. The sickest I've ever been, where I was running a fever that made me absolutely delirious, came from a CES. You know, like that more than anything else, like kicked my butt to always get flu vaccines, even though they're not always super effective. That's the fear. That's the concern. I'm totally there with you. Oh, 2 Turbo. Yeah. Again, I mean, again, it's always worth shopping. And I'm not saying go MVNO just because, you know, I was going to go MVNO, but now T-Mobile offers truly unlimited with no slowdowns. Yeah. I mean, everyone, you should be looking at your own feeds. I don't use tons of data out and about. You know, again, like I store my music collection locally because usually I'm on an LG phone, which has a great headphone jack. So when I look at Mint, I believe the cutoff on Mint is something like 30 gig. My busiest month over the last year was 2, but on so much Wi-Fi lately that if I prepay for Mint for a year, it, what is it? It's $30 a month for unlimited that throttles at 30 gig in a month. That's overkill for what I actually use. And I would still probably go with their air quotes bunny rabbit ears unlimited plan just to have like the buffer if I want to take a laptop with me or my next dock with me and you know, like use more laptop style data out and about, as opposed to the new sort of, you know, simply unlimited from Google Fi. I think Mint's probably the better deal, but again, it's like that's because I know I'm not hitting my data as hard as I would be maybe if I were considering a T-Mobile truly unlimited plan. So again, all of that stuff, it's like crunching the numbers on it. It kind of makes more sense the way that I use these gadgets. We'll have to see that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I can maybe pick up another sponsor where one of these other MVNOs can just kick me an activated SIM card. Like, I'll use you as the mid break before we do the subreddit plug. And here's this other cell phone carrier that can save you money on your bill because they gave me a SIM card. A DTNL. I mean, that would be pretty cool. A future Some Gadget Guy and Ryan Reynolds collab. I don't think I've got the wit to hang with Ryan Reynolds. I think he'd school me pretty hard. I think I'd lose. It wouldn't be a competition and I'd still lose. Well, and seeing Dave Burns overkill, I want to stream 8K Avengers wherever I am, because I think any video streaming on Mint is throttled. I think it's all 480p video streaming when you're out and about. So again, it would not be for that. I'd be curious though. I wonder if I tethered or if I use something like a NextDock, if I could get around. I'd have to play with that. I got to do a video on this, like MVNOs and bills and carriers. I got to talk to reviews.org about kind of where we want to take that coverage. Oh, and Loki Ted. Yeah. Visible is a great option. Currently on Visible, I'm tired. They won't support the Sony Xperia 1 Mark III. I will have to move to Mint and then find someone to take my place on Party Pay to keep the bill $25 if I have to support my Sony. Yeah. Visible was frustrating because I've got my LG Wing and it's a Verizon model of the Wing and they just don't seem to support it. Like I can't get it activated on Visible. I wanted to test Verizon's network through an MVNO and it's just a no-go. Like here are the phones that we support. Doing anything with Verizon is just an extra step of, can I get it activated? Will it support this phone? Does it have those bands? And I know I don't always have complete band support for T-Mobile, but it is so rare that I get any phone, any international phone, and pop in a SIM card and it just won't work. You know, I'll get some coverage on T-Mobile and not have to do anything else. Just, I put the card in the phone and the phone goes, internet. And I go, cool, phone, let's go to there. Let's go to that internet. And it's just driving me nuts. Yeah, Tech Love and Mama, I wish T-Mobile worked well where I am or I'd go Mint. Maybe next year they'll be better. Again, we've been seeing a bunch of network improvements. They've been cannibalizing their Sprint spectrum and towers. So over the next couple of years, I think we're going to see a lot of folks like, see some significant improvements to T-Mobile where they've maybe been kind of coasting for a while, but it's still going to take time. And I would say probably a 2-year outlook to see how they incorporate Sprint into that mix. From Jonathan Gao, I just turned off the stream saver function. I can't stand 480p videos. I know. Kyle Ruggles is like, oh, 480p is all right. And again, I don't want to trash talk. I mean, I love Xperia phones because they have UHD displays. I love when I fire up on my Plex server, when I fire up a 4K Blu-ray rip on that phone. You know, there's something about detail and clarity. And I know it's overkill and a lot of it's probably placebo. You know, it's probably psychosomatic, but I like it. yet. And I want overkill if I'm looking at premium devices on premium services. So I'm not going to trash talk someone who can't hang with 480p, because I kind of resemble that too. You know, a resolution snob. I feel like it's okay to be a resolution snob if you're putting your money on this. Oh yeah, and simply your device, US Mobile. I'm talking to the guys at US Mobile. They want to look at. They're trying to drum up a little bit more coverage, and I think we're gonna do a video on their service. Because I just did an overview, like I said in the subreddit rundown. I did a video for reviews.org talking about MVNOs, and it was more of a broad overview. Like, you can't go through every single MVNO because there are dozens of them. You can't break down every single individual plan. But I just started, this is a loose guide to how they function, why they can charge less, the deals that they make with major carriers. And US Mobile reached out and was like, hey, we've got options for both T-Mobile and Verizon. And like, okay, I'm very interested in that. Let's talk about how to test some of your network stuff and your billing and your sort of the consumer tools for like managing your plan. So I'm going to try and give them a run too. Again, it US Mobile, it's US Mobile. Yeah. US Mobile, not US Cellular. US Cellular is something different, is a different carrier, but yeah, I'm looking at US Mobile. Yeah, simply your device. Mint number one, US Mobile number two, Visible number three, and then you get to kind of play with whoever has good coverage. So I think if you're leaning, that's what's kind of funny. And again, simply your device, you've kind of organized them the way that I'm thinking about them in my brain, where if I know I've got great T-Mobile coverage, I'd probably lean Mint. If I knew I had awesome Verizon coverage, if the device were supported, I'd probably lean Visible. But I'm hoping that US Mobile will support the few quirky Verizon phones that I've got that I can't use on Visible. So that's, you know, again, it's so funny, you know, like if you want better choice for devices and being able to switch back and forth, like maybe you want to try a phone that was originally for T-Mobile. You don't want to have to switch your carrier. US Mobile might make more sense. Hey, send me a different SIM card and I'll switch my plan details over to that SIM card. And now I'm on T-Mobile's network instead of Verizon's. That kind of stuff is kind of fun. You know, again, I think that's a huge perk for an MVNO that they can lease time on any network and sell you whatever is going to have the best coverage in your area. Mm. Everyone say, hey, Barry Johnson. Hey, Barry, thanks for dropping by. He's saying, great, Juan, US Mobile is solid. Barry maybe was borrowing someone's OnePlus 9. Maybe he had his hands on this phone. He put out a great overview recently, his first 24 hours, looking at the OnePlus 9. And if you haven't, and again, I was really hoping it would show up in the top 10 for glowing rectangles today. I need everyone to go subscribe to Barry Johnson's channel. Check out, he recently did a Pixel video and the OnePlus 9. I really like the vibe that Barry's creating for his videos. It is super clean, super simple, very clean, very to the point. And he's just got a very chill, natural demeanor. I highly recommend you add him to your subscription list. So definitely check it out. But also it's like, I was glad I was able to kind of scooch him a phone just to see what his thoughts were. Because I like his vibe. Again, it's fun to find a style of conversation. And I feel like Barry's voice is a very solid voice to have in this community. Matt Tyler, I can't read that comment about Deadpool and stay monetized. And Aditya, he's saying, I'm loving the new Black Lab series. It's super nice, crispy, and I want to see more of your content. Definitely. Hook it up. Barry is good people. So, Gadget Lab. I don't know how far I can pull this out. So I want to see if... Oh, you know what? Maybe I can detach the camera from the tripod. If you guys don't mind really shaky cam, I can try and angle this around so that we can see what else is happening here. But apologies for those of you on the audio stream, because this might get a little weird. I'm feeling brave. We're getting down to the last 10 minutes. So if everything craters and falls apart now, I feel like we had a show. It was a lot of me just spewing and rambling, but I feel like we've grown and we've pulled this off together as pals. Let me see if I can pull this out. So behind me, oh, and my Panasonic does not want to autofocus. So behind me, obviously, we've got the bookshelves, and I'm going to have to drop the ISO. So let's do that. Getting real close up on my unfocused eye here. Oops, other way. So I just want to turn this around. And so, oh man, that's terrible. Hold on. Yeah, there we go. So that's going to be the window. And you see that it's a really pretty sort of wooded, but like just lots of trees, lots of open space. It's just really nice. And that's going to be the backdrop for some of my videos now. Like, I think this is a really fun look. Just trees and rooftops, and I get to kind of stand above the street level. The light is just so nice, and it, you know, I get this awesome indirect sun. Then over here on the side, you can see one wall here. That's like the closet, mirrors. There's the phone bookshelf. So you can see how many phones are just kind of tucked away in there. This is a little blurry again. Like I said, this Panasonic does not want to autofocus. And then that's going to be the doorway. I'm debating whether or not I want to put a TV near that corner because the door might smash into it. But yeah, so this is what I'm hoping. Anytime I do a video, like, that could be an angle. That could be an angle. You can point out towards the window. We can be sitting in front of the desk. Everything can kind of move around. And we don't have to stay put in this space the entire time. My camera is, like, off. I've been doing this entire podcast kind of tilted, haven't I? let me turn this back up so it's a little bit brighter again. Oop, too bright. There we go. So it's going to be a fun journey. And I think we've been long overdue. Matt Tyler, cables! I'm not showing you my desk. This is awful. I don't think I can pull the camera out far enough to then turn it around and point right back down on my desk again. Dustador, hashtag team shaky cam. Yeah, you know, that was not my best camera work. That, remember, I'm an audio guy by trade. And Dave Burns, it's a cute neighborhood. We love this little spot. It's tucked away. It's away from the freeway. It's by schools. It's got good infrastructure. I'm hoping this is going to be a good fit. HDR test in the phones towards the window. Well, and I'll also have like a nice little shelf and a ledge. So when I'm doing phone shots, the backdrop can be this neighborhood. It can be trees and it can be sunshine. It doesn't have to be, you know, like something in the studio, especially when the light is this even over the course of the morning. Because we've been going for almost 2 hours, and in my old place, the sun would have been hitting me right in the face at some point. So facing west and shooting in the morning is so much nicer. Oh, it's so much nice. Dave Burns, I thought LA was made entirely of freeways. It really does feel that way, but we've been pushing west. I miss being like in the middle of the city, but there has been something kind of nice about just going further and further and further west. You know, like, we're not too far from a freeway exit so that we can just coast straight down to Malibu. We want to go hit a beach. Whereas before, that would have been like an hour and a half drive when we were sort of more city central. And that's not on a heavy beach day, traffic day. I mean, it's just real sweet. Excuse me. Mr. Malignance, it is very chill. This neighborhood is super chill. Lots of parks and hiking trails. It's nice. I miss activity and city, but this is going to be a fun compromise. You know, if I can't have that, like, I want trails to go and hike. I want mountain biking. I want things to do. And I'm going to be, hopefully I get to become one of those, like, you know, old school Boy Scout granola eaters again, because that used to be a bigger part of my life. Oh, Q3 Becker, are you far from the fires? That is one of the concerns. Where we're living is lots of dry brush, lots of hills, lots of, you know, when we get lots of rain, those plants grow and then dry out. And then over the summer, we're definitely going to have concerns with fires. I don't know if anyone caught it. It was, man, was it 2 weeks ago already? The hillside near the 101, the freeway right next to our home, went up in flames, and it was a case of arson. And the two local fire stations had people boots on the ground to guide helicopter water drops. And so we got stuck in the traffic jam because they had to shut down a part of the 101. And, you know, on the OnePlus 9 Pro, using that telephoto camera sensor, I got a shot of the helicopter swooping in to dump water on the fire. It was absolutely incredible. And again, it's the it's awe-inspiring seeing the Herculean human effort that goes into fighting fires. One of the most dangerous jobs on the planet. Like, we're instinctively trained to run away from the fire. What is scary? If you know a firefighter, if you've seen them around your community, it's so sad when you see them around Los Angeles and they're doing fundraising. They do a thing where they walk around with a boot. You're supposed to throw money into the boot to help, you know, firefighter funds and healthcare and retirement. And you're like, I don't think that should ever be something they need to do. So, you know, if you can, if you have the means to, like, buy them a meal, give them a fist bump, you know, buy them a beer, something, just some acknowledgement that this is an incredible service they provide to communities. And it often goes sort of underpraised, in my opinion. And just, again, like I said, seeing it right in front of my car, the hillside is on fire. I've got my daughter in the car seat behind me. We're watching helicopters swoop overhead and dump water tactically right on, you know, a fire that could have spread down the hillside and maybe hit, you know, made it dangerous for us to get home. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So, I need to see if I can get my daughter to the local firehouse and see if there are other opportunities to like help or support or fundraise for them. I want to be a part of this community. I want to put in roots. I want to grow and become a part of what's going on around here and not feel so temporary. And maybe that's one way that we can kind of tell a story about that kind of stuff. So my voice is failing. Oh, and yes, Matt Tyler with the highlighted comment. Huge shout out to Gary the Fireman. And much love and much respect. But let's go ahead and start closing this down. We did it. The stream survived. My camera's like off. I don't like my angle here. It's all wrong. But I didn't see any crazy, terrible, awful dropouts. The stream seemed to keep up decent quality the entire time. I didn't see any crazy complaints that like the sound was off or anything was wrong there. Feeling pretty good. I'm feeling really good. This made me happy that we survived the first one. I'm going to be getting stuff unpacked. You're going to be seeing videos start to show back up on the channel. I've got some articles that I'm going to be writing for both the SomeGadgetGuy.com and the Patreon coming up soon, just to fill in some of the gaps on performance testing and sort of long-term reviewing some of these older phones that are getting updates again. I need to circle back and cover the original Xperia 1 Mark 1. And what's that like on Android 11? You know, Sony software support is better than people are making it out to be. And Barry Johnson, nope, no dropouts. Audio was good. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So this is a journey, man. Life is a highway, and I'm going to ride it all night long. If you're going my way... Sorry, I was about to break out into song and dance there, but my voice really can't handle it. I really appreciate it. You know, it's been a weird place that we've been in, and I hope folks are finding the opportunities to heal. Because I think collectively, even those of us who were privileged to be in good situations and good circumstances, there's been a heavy mental toll. And there are a number of people in our circles of family and friends that didn't have it as easy as we might have. And I know a lot of things aren't going to change. We're, especially in the United States and our culture, we're so hell-bent on getting back to normal. I hope we can take those moments to figure out what a new normal should look like. And we can be there for each other, because a lot of us are going to need that help. You know, like I said, Marie and I came out of this relatively unscathed, and I still feel like we'll need years of therapy just to kind of sort out how we got here. Even when it wasn't all bad, it was still a year of anxiety and stress and anxiousness. So when I get to do these streams, and I'm so glad I was able to fire this up first Monday, new place after a move, one of the most stressful things you can do is move to a new home, that you all were here and along for the ride and a part of this conversation and down to, you know, chat with a rambling, discombobulated, exhausted gadget guy. It means the world. It means everything. This is exactly why I like doing this and why I want to do this. So, Aditya Anil, that's the tagline for your only ones. And Dustador, this is the first time I've been able to join live in a while, and I appreciate you. Want to ask, appreciate that Twitch lets me pop out video so I can check other things on my phone. Cough, cough. YouTube, not premium. Cough, cough. I know that feel. I definitely appreciate that feel. So, oh, and Kepper 67, the old normal will come back. We have to live with the... I think you mean won't come back. We have to live with the new normal. Whether or not we want to acknowledge it, life is fundamentally different than it was a year and a half ago. And I think a lot of our family and friends are going to fight that idea, and they're going to want to go back. And there is no going back. We know that rationally, but I think we need to be there for people that are going to need that help. So, I'm preaching to the choir, and this is why I'm wrapping up my show in this kind of overly sentimental way, is because I know the people that are in this stream right now, and those of you listening or catching the replay, I'm speaking to like-minded individuals, but I know we can be, and I know we can be those resources. We can be the good tech neighbors, the good tech citizens, the good tech helpers. You probably won't get the thank yous you deserve. So I want to give you the thank yous you deserve. You're doing good work. So let's keep it up. They won't know how much that they need to appreciate it, but know that I appreciate it. There you go. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We're rocking and rolling now. It's all hands on deck, streams and videos. So I hope you're along for the ride, and I hope you can help with some of these other more philosophical conversations about what to do next, because I know we're all facing kind of a YouTuber existential crisis. I want you all to have an amazing week. I want you to do awesome with your technology. I want you to be awesome with your technology. And I'll catch you back here next week for another episode of the Monday Morning Tech Chat Show on the SGGQA podcast channel. Be well. Take care. I love you all. I'll catch you back.
Recording voiceover, spoken word, is truly one of my favorite activities. My second favorite hobby is photography. Now, the smartphone might be making us deaf, but we can't deny the awesome power of the phone as a platform for photography and multimedia creation. If you've been looking to improve your mobile photog skills, if you want to produce more professional content, or you're just looking to take your family photos to the next level, I wrote a book to help you out with that. Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs, is available on Amazon Kindle. Walking through the basic terminology of photography, covering the settings on your camera, discussing composition and inspiration, and I even include a long list of exercises and challenges to really hone your skills, all with some helpful example photos and diagrams. Search for Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs on Amazon, or use the quick link bit.ly/betterphotosbook to grab your copy today.